I think they say that imitation is the highest form of flattery, so I'm just going to let you know that this whole homily is stolen from another, a great biblical scholar, Dr. Brant Petrie. For him, this scripture passage, the gospel reading from today, Matthew 16, is so pivotal in our understanding of what it is to be Catholics. So we hear, as Jesus goes with his disciples up to Caesarea Philippi, he asks them this question: who do you say that I am? And throughout the Gospels, we see that Peter is unquestionably the leader of the apostles. He's mentioned most often, frequently. It is he who speaks on behalf of all of the apostles. And so he speaks up once again in this instance, replying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Christ is the Greek word for the anointed one, right? The Jewish Messiah. But Peter adds to that, the Son of the living God, and many scholars think is speaking about the divine sonship, the divine identity of Jesus. And Jesus tells him that this is the truth. "Blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." It's not your intelligence from which this answer came. It has nothing to do with your own goodness, but with God, who has chosen you to be the one to bear this truth and to elucidate it. And so from this profession of faith, Peter is established. He's established in his role and his identity among the apostles, in the church, and for all time. We see that four important elements ensue. Four things happen after this profession of faith. Jesus changes his name. Jesus says that he will build his church upon him. Jesus gives him the keys to the kingdom. And Jesus gives him the power to bind and to loose. Okay, so we'll talk about each of these. His name is changed from Simon to Peter, which we know means the rock, right? It literally means in Greek, the rock, and kephas in Aramaic means the rock. So Simon's name is changed to rock, Peter. Now, in the scriptures, we see that God changes someone's name on momentous occasions. And a new name identifies something. Something is happening when God changes your name. You receive a new identity and you receive a new mission. Who you are is different, and the role that you have is changed. So Peter is not just meant to be a name. It's meant to define his new identity and his new role. He is to be the rock. And his role, Jesus goes on to say it, "You will be the one upon whom I will build my church." So, the church is built upon Peter. This is his role. What does the word church mean? Well, the church, usually we think of church as a building, perhaps, or we might think of it as, you know, something like the Catholic Church. But in its origin, the meaning of this word is the assembly of the people, the coming together, being called together. And so the assembly, the people, centers around and finds its principle of unity in a certain thing. For the Israelites, it was gathering, coming together in the temple. Now, this church is built around a unifying force, who is Peter. And in fact, as you already know, right, Peter is the first pope, And this role that he has received is handed on to successors in throughout time. And this role of the Pope has been defined in this way, as the perpetual and visible principle and foundation of unity for the bishops and all the faithful. That's the Second Vatican Council. So Peter, the rock upon whom the church is built, is this sign of unity, this principle and foundation of unity. And so the role of the Pope to this day. Third, Peter is given the keys to the kingdom. So what does this mean? Well, we actually gained insight from that by listening to our first reading today from the apostle, from the prophet Isaiah. So Isaiah is writing around 800 BC. He's talking about Shebna, who is about to lose his authority. And the Lord says to Shebna that he will give over this authority to another, to Eliakim. Okay, well, what was Shebna's role? Shebna was not the king of Israel. Rather, Shebna was the second in command. Something we would say akin to a prime minister. Right? So, however, though he's not the king, he has authority. And this authority is going to be passed on to another. The Lord says, Eliakim shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is his role. I will place the key of the house of David on his shoulder. And when he opens, no one shall shut. And when he shuts, no one shall open. The same things he just says to Peter, right? I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. And what you bind will be bound, and what you loose will be loose. Okay, so we see in this Old Testament passage that this authority of the second in command is based on an office that has successors, that's being passed on from one to another, an office that holds certain authority. The key holder is the one who has this authority. Now, Peter is given the keys to the kingdom, a different kingdom, a broader kingdom than Eliakim was to receive. This is the kingdom of heaven. And so his power to bind and loose what is here on earth is accepted as truth even in heaven. And just as Eliakim's role was to be a father, so will the role of Peter to be a protector and a provider. Right, what do you need keys for? You need keys to lock up things that are valuable, and you need keys to lock something to defend yourself from your enemies. This is what the good father does, protects from harm and provides, right? So we're going to distribute the food in the proper way, at the proper time. It's valuable to us, it's going to be locked up. This is how the second in command participates in the fatherhood of the king, by holding this authority to protect and provide. What do we call the successor of Peter? We call him the Pope, the Papa, which is the word for father, okay? It's precisely the role that he has. Given the keys to the kingdom, and then Peter is given this power to bind and to loose. What does that mean? When Jesus' day, the rabbis would talk about binding or loosing. It is speaking about their authority to interpret the scriptures. Instead of a rabbi bound something, that meant that their interpretation of the scriptures was to be held and could not be deviated from. If they loosed something, then there could be freedom of discussion and diverse opinions on what the scriptures meant. The rabbis had this authority. And so Peter is being given this same kind of authority to bind and to loose, to a teaching authority, to establish something as a definitive teaching to be held by all, a final decision, or to loose, to allow something to still be under debate and discussion with a diversity of opinions. This is precisely part of the authority that we as Catholics believe the Pope has, this teaching authority of the papacy to define doctrines as binding for all of the faithful. The more that we come to understand what this passage would have meant in its original context, the more astounding it is to us, this reality of the papacy, that Jesus has established the church upon Peter the rock, and that just as that authority in the Old Testament is passed on to the successors, so it is in the church, that same authority, the keys and the binding and loosing power, is passed on to our Holy Father, the Pope, today. So you could summarize this homily thus far by saying, it's great to be Catholic, okay? It's great to really understand that all that our teachings are right here so deeply rooted in the sacred scriptures. But lest someone say that your preaching, Father, true as it might be, seems irrelevant to my daily life, I'm just going to give you a few parallels, a few analogies to the life of every Christian from the scriptures we've just heard today. A few by the ways. Okay? Peter is given the keys to the kingdom and he's given the power to bind and to loose. By the way, fellow Christians, that means that the kingdom can be locked for the good of its inhabitants and out of justice for its citizens. Those who do not live according to the kingdom's ways can be locked out. We ought to beware then. We try to live as citizens of this kingdom. By the way, Peter given the power to bind and loose means that we don't have the power ourselves. We cannot take upon ourselves the authority to define right and wrong for ourselves, or the interpretation of the sacred scriptures, the divine revelation, or to decide for ourselves that our sins have been forgiven. This authority has been given by Jesus to the church in the person of Peter, and at certain points shared with others. It is a gift of God, all of these things, this power to bind and loose, a gift of God given to an office and available for us to receive, not for us to define for ourselves. Peter, the church is built upon him, the rock. Just a by the way, friends, we speak about the importance of the domestic church, the church of the family. This domestic church is built upon a foundation as well, upon the foundation of the sacrament of marriage. I know how much you want strong leaders in the church. Know too that you are the foundation for your family and the strong leadership that we need from each of you, just as you call our church leaders to that strength, that rock-like character. So too you, married couples, need to be this for your families, the domestic church. Peter's name has changed, signifying a new identity and a new mission. By the way, you also have received a new name at your baptism, right? The early Christians all did this. They received a new name at baptism, because they were receiving a new identity as the beloved children of God. and a new mission. In baptism, we're anointed to share in Christ's mission as priest, prophet, and king. Jesus asked the apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replied, "By the way, fellow Christians, this question will be on the final exam." Okay? We're going to be asked this question at the final judgment. Who is Jesus Christ? There are right answers and there are wrong answers. Jesus is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. He is the Savior. He is God incarnate. He is our true hope. So lest we say that none of this relates to us, at least analogously, we can see the great authority that Jesus is giving to Peter, he also entrusts so much to us as Christians, because he loves us, because he loves the world. He entrusts so many gifts to us. Let us lean upon this great rock, this great foundation that we have received in the church, and open our hearts to the many riches she wants to give us through Peter and his successors, the popes, through the teaching that has been handed on to us from the beginning that we are beneficiaries of now, which help us make that authentic and true profession of faith in Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God.